teaching this morning and everything about the discipleship on how our words are not going to fall to the ground. They'll have meaning and power because that's what God gave us. The Father gave it to us. Through Jesus, He got it back from what Adam failed to do. Mm-hmm. And the words that I speak right now are coming from the Father, and they're going to have meaning and power, and you're going to believe exactly what I'm saying because it comes from the Father.
That's right.
For this reason, I bow my knees before you, Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name, that He would grant to us, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, and that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, our minds can't even comprehend, according to the power that works within me and you. That power.
Jesus.
It's unlimited.
Yeah.
Unlimited abundance. To Him be the glory in the church, our body, us.
Yeah.
Wow. And Christ to all generations forever and ever. And you know, we're going to heaven soon. I mean, you know, just think about it. Soon. We're a vapor. Our life don't last long. So it's soon.
Mm-hmm.
Just imagine going to heaven.
Yep.
But imagine now we got heaven here on earth inside of us, and we have the glory and the power to go. I'm exercising my faith. My body is going to be healed. I'm tired of it hurting every stinking day. I'm tired of having my body's healed. I'm taking power and authority over it now.
Amen.
Because Jesus gave me that authority.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. This is the Father's house. That's right. The church of the living God.
Yes.
His chosen people.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Thank you.
We love you, Lord.
This is not the hog pen.
No,
praise the Lord. We're not second class. We're first class. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. The pillar and the ground of the truth. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, this day for your goodness to us. We thank you for this assembly gathered here this morning. Thank you for the sweet word of God that we're able to share here together this morning. We pray that you'll open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of your word this morning.
Amen.
Give us the spirit of wisdom and not of fear. Give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the word of faith and authority to believe it, that we may be able to operate the ministries that you've given us. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. All right. If you got your Bibles, let's turn to Acts chapter 7. This is Stephen's message. Acts chapter 6 verse 8 says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and spirit by which he spoke. So they bribed men who lied about him and said, 'We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God.'" So you know, Philip and Stephen were great evangelists, both of them. Stephen was not killed because he was waiting tables. He was killed because he was doing the work of an evangelist.
Amen.
He was preaching the gospel. That's why he got killed. Generally, waiting tables does not get you killed. It's preaching the gospel that gets you killed. People don't mind. The world doesn't mind if you wait tables. Nobody cares if you, you know, do good deeds, as long as you keep your mouth shut and don't use the name of Jesus. Don't try to convict anybody of sin. No, don't point out anybody's sin. Don't criticize anybody. You know, everybody's good. I'm okay. You're okay. That kind of thing. You won't get any trouble for that.
Okay.
But people like Philip and Stephen didn't have any more business waiting tables than did Peter or John. If you can do what Philip and Stephen could do, you had no business in the kitchen. Get out of the kitchen. Get out of the field. Stay out of the kitchen, Stephen. Get out in the field. Do the work of an evangelist. Get folks saved. If you can work miracles and do signs and wonders, get out of the kitchen. You don't belong in the kitchen.
Glory to God. Burn food, ain't it?
Get out of there. And he wasn't. He wasn't in the kitchen. Praise God. He was out there doing what God had called him to do in the first place. Praise the Lord. All right. So he begins in chapter 7, verse 1. And it's amazing to me that these people chose these two great evangelists to wait tables. It's the most amazing thing. I mean, you know, that's the reason why the apostle said you need to choose out somebody else, because we ain't got time to wait tables. We got work to do. We got to minister the word. So what did they do? They chose some more word ministers to wait tables. Well, I'm, in case you hadn't noticed it, I'm a little bit critical of the way and the method by which these people were chosen to be deacons. I mean, it doesn't seem to have been, and this doesn't seem to have been the will of God for these people to have been chosen to be deacons when they had so much ability and calling to do what they were doing in the field. You know, that's the whole idea.
You still make the same mistake, Pat.
We do it. We do it all the time. Popularity contest is, you know, whenever every time you elect somebody, elections are nothing. Nothing but a popularity contest, the meanest thing I ever seen. You know, God, and you know, God is the only one that can really, you know, appoint somebody.
Yeah.
Because God knows the heart. He knows who He's called, and He knows what He's called Him for. And you know, He's really the only one that can appoint people to do these kinds of things. And every time we try to elect somebody, we always miss it somewhere or other. And you know, that's it's the same way when you choose a pastor. It's the same way when these congregational churches choose a pastor. It ain't nothing but an election.
Yeah.
It's just a popularity contest.
If they don't preach what you like, they'll kick you.
Sure, deacon, you got deacon possessed churches. That's what it is. That's what it is. You know, and it's still going on. You're right, Nick. It's still going on. Goes on every day. Lord have mercy. Do we never learn anything? Can we never learn? Okay, God help us. Well, I'll get started here on Stephen's message. This is a great message. Let me put it this way. This is an anointed message, but it's a curious message for various reasons, and I'll point out why eventually. Probably won't do it today, but it is a very curious message. And I don't know how many times I read this message before I realized how curious it really is. And so when I read right past it today, I don't know whether you guys are going to pick up on it or not. But listen carefully. I've thought about this whether I ought to go ahead and point out why it's so curious, but I think I will. I think I will point it out, but I probably won't do it today because we won't get to it today. Because it'll take my whole class period to do that. All right. Then said the high priest, "Are these things so?" And he, Stephen, said, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage and entreat them evil 400 years. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said God, and after that shall they come forth and serve me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision, and so Abraham begot Isaac, and circumcised him the 8th day, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot the 12 patriarchs. All right, well, we have passed over, of course, Ishmael and Esau, so they didn't count, right, in the whole scheme of things. They did not count. All right, and that's not the curious part. That's absolutely correct. They didn't count. And the patriarchs. That's right. And Abraham begot Isaac and circumcised him the 8th day, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot the 12 patriarchs. The patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him and delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. And at the second time, Joseph was made known to his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him, and all his kindred, 75 souls. So Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers, and were carried over into Shechem and laid in the sepulcher that Abraham bought for a sum of money of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem. But when the time of the promises drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose which knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end they might not live. In which time Moses was born, and was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them, and as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, you are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who hath made thee a ruler and judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begot 2 sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them, and now come, I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses whom they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer, by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after he had showed signs, wonders and signs, in the land of Egypt, and in the Red Sea, and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spoke to him in the Mount Sinai and with our fathers, who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him back from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, Make us gods to go before us. As for this Moses which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And they made a calf in those days, and offered sacrifice unto the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch, the star of your god Remphan, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacle of the wilderness, of the witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus unto the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. All right.
Stephen is clearly letting them know that it was them who did it.
That's true. That is absolutely right. Yes. He did not let them off the hook. They were the ones who did it. And he said, which of the prophets have you not persecuted? Which of the prophets have your fathers not persecuted? Name me one. All right.
That's a boldness.
Yes.
That's a boldness.
Even criticizing the temple.
Yeah. Until there arose.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. The temple was not sufficient. That's exactly right, obviously.
This is something that always perplexed me. Until, you know, the pharaohs and stuff, you know, usually they had their lineage and everything was their offspring and stuff. How come this one pharaoh didn't know who Joseph was?
Well,
I believe that this pharaoh right here wasn't even an Egyptian. I believe that he probably was in Assyria.
Well, it had been 215 years.
Yeah, I know.
So it had been quite a while. But I know what you're saying. Yeah, I know what you're saying. That's possible.
When you were reading, it's probably not in perfect what you're talking about today. But when you know how Moses told God at the burning bush that I can't speak, I don't have the tongue to speak. Well, right there it said that he was raised up in the palace and he had great gift of words and speech.
But when he was
it says you're right. He was mighty in words and deeds.
He was taught how to be a very fluent orator.
I don't understand. You know, I don't understand what Moses' problem was. It says right here he was raised up, and for 40 years he was mighty in word. I don't know.
He was one of the best. He was in the
fight. I cannot explain what Moses' problem was when he kept saying, I can't speak. Mm-hmm. I cannot. I don't know. I can't explain that.
What?
That is inexplicable.
Of speech.
Well,
it brought it out clearer in the Old Testament.
That he was slow of speech.
He said he was. It doesn't say that. Slow. He said he was slow of speech.
Yeah.
It says Moses said, I am slow of speech. It doesn't say that he was. It says he...
years, out over a million. Do you think being a herder for 40 years, you know, probably could have slowed him down a lot where he lost a lot of that?
I think he really had a speaking problem. Not that he wasn't raised up in words and he was a great orator. That wasn't the issue. He couldn't get it out.
I don't know, Sister Mary. I don't know. That's a possibility. That is a possibility.
That's what they say about him. He was very.
I know. That's what some folks say about him.
We say what we call stutter. When people stutter, I don't care how good your words are. If you stutter or stuff like that, people will laugh at you.
Yeah.
I don't think he stuttered, but that's all right. That's
what they say about him.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
I know that's what folks say. That is not in the Bible. That is not, I'm going to just tell you this, not in the Bible, okay? You find it for me. You find it. You just find it.
I said stuttered.
I know.
Slow of speech is what
he says. He said, it doesn't say that he was, it just says he said, I'm slow of speech. That don't mean that he was. I don't know. He obviously didn't want to do it.
If he said he was slow of speech, he knew he was slow. But God wasn't looking at the slow of speech.
Yeah.
God dealt with him. God said, okay, I need Amen.
I don't know.
There was a problem there.
Way to go, sister. Way to go. There you go. That's good. You're right. You're right. I'm glad you pointed that out because it does say right here he was mighty in word and deed.
Well, then God made him as God before Pharaoh.
Before this ever happened, before he ever left Egypt.
Made him as God.
Not before he left Egypt.
No, exactly.
Not before he left Egypt, before he left to go into the wilderness, he rose up and was speaking to those people about their deeds. Yeah. Why are you doing this?
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Out into the wilderness, like Mary said, maybe something happened to him out there in the wilderness.
He ran out.
He fled. He fled for his life. Yeah. Okay.
That's really good.
Something happened.
In that 40 years.
I know y'all saying Moses said that, but if Moses said he was slow in speech, you know, he saw himself just like Gideon saw himself. He saw himself just for what?
Well, you know, here, this is interesting, and Nick has brought out an interesting thought. We don't know what in the world happened to him for those 40 years that he was in the wilderness. That he was in the land of Midian. He was there for 40 years, and it is possible. That something happened to him that hurt him. Now it is possible. Okay.
I think I heard someone say that he was around 80 years old.
He was 80.
He was 80 years old.
Maybe he's getting a little older, you know. Maybe he just.
But here's the thing. I don't believe that he was some old decrepit man.
He was not.
Went to Egypt because God made him as God.
When it said at 40, it said even after when he was 120,
right.
His natural force was not abated. His eyes were not dim.
Just like a young man, he could see. I bet you he could take all of us out.
But that was after he obeyed God, though.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah. Well, God made him as God.
Yeah.
That's a powerful thing. Right?
I got to think. I got to study on what Nick.
Let's read.
You find something? Did you find some?
I'm going to read what's in Exodus 4 and 10.
All right. Read it right there. There you go. I was looking for that. Go ahead. You found it. Read it.
Okay. And I'm going to go down to the 10th verse. And Moses said unto the Lord. Okay, let's go to the name. And it shall come to pass if thou wilt not believe. Okay, let's go on 10 for time's sake. Okay, Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither be heretofore. Nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. But I am slow of speech and slow of tongue.
Yeah, he said that.
Slow of tongue.
That's what he said.
With his tongue.
That's what he said.
I have the Living Bible. It says, but Moses pleaded, oh Lord, I'm just not a good speaker. I never have been, and I'm not now.
Never
and
have
after
been.
You have spoken to me, for I have a speech impediment. This is the Living Bible.
That might be
So it was something wrong with his tongue, because he made it plain. He said, something wrong with my tongue, God.
He said that. It don't say that it was, but it says that he said
but
that.
But if he said it, it was true. It's just like some people now that said things about themselves. I'm just saying.
But they sometimes say things about ourselves
that are not true. Especially when you're wanting an excuse not to do something. And this is true. He was wanting an excuse not to do it.
He didn't want to do it, Seymour.
He did not want to do it.
He said, "I'm slow."
That's right. He didn't want to do it. All right. Let me say. This is not the part that's curious. Okay. This is not the curious part that I was talking about. Let me point out to you, because I gotta go. I'm taking up all Brother Thurston's time. Look at verses. 15 and 16. Next time I'm going to talk about verses 15 and 16.
Okay, what was that? Say it again, brother.
Next, look at verses of chapter 7, verses 15 and 16.
Okay.
Does anybody see anything curious in there?
Wait a minute, let me get to it.
7.
Yes.
Acts 7.
Right.
Okay. And what was the verses again? For
15 and 16.
Jacob went down to Egypt, and there passed away he and our fathers, and from there all the 12. And from there they were removed to Shechem, and laid in the tomb which Abraham had purchased for his own money from the sons of Hamor and Shechem.
Okay. That's the scriptures. That's what I'm talking about. Is there anything curious? Does anybody find anything curious about that?
What, in the 15, 16?
Yeah.
Was Shechem in Egypt?
What Nicholas just read.
Wasn't that in Egypt? Was Shechem?
No. It was in the land of Canaan.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. Praise the Lord. So, next week, verses 15 and 16. we'll see you next week.
All right.